See, I've been waiting. Waiting on that time. Feel me if you've been waiting on yours. That moment, it's close. It's close.
Yeah. Tired of living day to day like everything's alright. Just waiting on that moment. Waiting on my moment.
Alright, and that time is now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Fighter's Block, coming to you live from the new Fortress of Swolitude. My name is Joe Gilpin, joined as always by my co-host, the King of Salvadorian Strong Style, Mr. Jesse Rivas. Jesse, you look perturbed.
You just told me I had throat cancer from eating pussy. Is that possible?
Well, you were like, oh, my mouth is really dry. And I was like, did you eat any pussy recently? You were like, yeah. I said, well, you probably have HPV. I don't know that to be medically true in the slightest. It's like, I have no basis of knowledge. But like, maybe, I don't know. Girls are gross, dude. Yeah, dude. You're going to end up like, we're going to have to take the jaw. We're going to have to take it off. How cool would it be to see a guy boxing without a jaw? You know what
you
I mean?
You remember that dude who used to fight without a chest?
Yeah. Do you remember the guy who used to fight with no arms and no legs?
Yes.
Yeah. And he was like, I remember after he did the, I think Kyle Maynard, who actually, by the way, is a pretty decent grappler. I've seen him grapple and he is pretty good. But I remember after his MMA fight, the fight started. And he, like, he comes forward, he, like, waddles forward at the guy and then just starts getting, like, punched in the face. And the guy just, like, holds his head with one hand and tees off on him with the other. And after the fight, Kyle is like, I wanted to prove that there are no limits. And he actually proved there are limits. Like, he had a very serious limit in that fight. He couldn't do anything. Kyle, you were very limited anyway for getting off on a bad thing. So Jesse's dying. We had some good fights this weekend. Jesse ate some bad pussy.
I need water is what it is. I'm just thirsty.
Go get some water. I can fucking like I can filibuster here while we, you know, you wash out your HPV or something.
I don't have HPV.
You don't have HPV. You don't have HPV. I'm not a doctor. I don't know that. I've literally never even heard it. It's just funny.
It is a funny word. Like,
it's funny. It's great. As a guy, it's very funny to joke about HPV. As a girl, I wouldn't laugh about it. But as a guy, it's very funny.
I remember seeing those signs back when Rob Van Dam was popular that would say, RVD has HPV.
Does he? With the finger pointing to the shoulders, HPV. Okay, this show is already super retarded. Let's talk about the HPV of the fighting world. It's dirty, it's grimy, we don't like to pretend it's there, but we'll definitely watch it on a Saturday night. I'm talking about bare knuckle fighting championships. Jesse, we had what was billed as the fight of the century. The combat sports event of the century. And I love
that. Was it billed as that?
Yes, straight up. That was on the poster, which I think is hilarious.
Hilarious.
The best. Please do it. Pauly Malignaggi loses to Artem Lobov. I think this is the funniest combat sports thing that has happened in the run of the show.
Interesting thing about this fight is the fact that almost no press was there until Tony Harrison, who's going to fight Jermell Charlo, pulled out. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, random press people came in because it became the biggest fight of the weekend.
Straight up, man. There was boxing. There was a little boxing. There was a little MMA. But there was nothing that took away from this, which was really, really cool. And Pauly Malignaggi, former world boxing champion, two-time world boxing champion, I think, lost to Artem Lobov. 12-13 in MMA, Artem Lobov. Hilarious. Pauly has spent 2 years trying to chase down a Conor McGregor fight. Anything he can do. He was trying to get a bare knuckle. He was trying to get anything. Couldn't get it to happen. He's going through Conor's running buddy and buddy boy, Artem. But Artem takes care of business and wins a five-round decision over Pauly. Un-fucking-real.
You know, it's so ironic that, you know, we're sitting here in about the 6 year anniversary of when Pauly was embarrassed by Adrian Broner. And now here we are in this deja vu all over again.
Which was worse? Which was worse? Pauly getting beat up and then cucked by Adrian Broner in the ring,
That was my side piece. Don't brag about taking my side piece.
Which, by the way, you still shouldn't have your side piece taken. Like, that's still not good. Paulie, you still had your girl taken from you.
His insult afterwards was like, you don't get laid, man.
Yeah. He's like, I'm fucking your girl. What are you talking about? Yo, my mom's not even sucking your dick right. Like, it's just like this insult that doesn't make any sense. But he comes in here, he loses to a guy that's not even a boxer in... Not a boxing match, but pretty much a boxing match. It's 5 rounds, 2-minute rounds, and the judges had it 3-2. They gave it to Artem. Artem definitely won the last two. Pauly definitely won, like, the second and probably the first. That third round, Pauly gets knocked down. Not knocked down, but, like, really stunned, and he's really skittering. And after the fight, he's trying to say, like, oh, this is a robbery, and, you know, I didn't get... I only got hit one time. He's got 3 fucking cuts on his face. Which, by the way, maybe Artem just has giant hands. You know what I mean? Maybe he has these big catcher's mitt paws. But I think this is such a fucking horrible look for boxing. Horrible, horrible look for boxing. What do you think? Do you think this reflects poorly on the sport of boxing? How can it not? There's a world champion who lost in a boxing match to a non-boxer.
But Pauly never got the respect of, like, boxing purist. Like, all right, so...
Okay, but to be fair, Canelo doesn't get the respect of boxing purists.
True.
Like,
true.
They don't give anybody respect.
Because here's the thing about Pauly.
At any time, there's 3 guys who get respect. You know what I mean? And it's like nobody else.
If you go back and you see the people that Pauly Malignaggi beat for the title, it was more of a management deal than it was really like you beat the top guy in the weight class. He never defeated the top guy in the weight class. He actually is more famous for losing the bigger fights.
And getting cucked. It really was, though. It was kind of like, okay, we'll get Pauly a belt so Pauly can be plugged in as the B-side to a bigger fight.
Exactly, like Love More Ndu.
Yeah.
Nobody considers Love More Ndu an A-fighter, a B-fighter. He was kind of like a lower gatekeeper, but...
Didn't he fight him twice?
He fought him... Yeah, because he technically lost... Like the first fight was very close.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like he beat, like, Miguel Cotto. You know, then he fought Ricky Hatton and got TKO'd. Then the second time he won a title, he beat... when is the second time? Oh, he beat against Sinchenko.
I didn't even... Which is like, yeah, I mean,
I didn't know who Sinchenko was.
Was Sinchenko going to be a fucking world champion? Was Love More Ndu going to be a world fucking champion? Yeah, I mean, but, you know, Pauly, it was like that Hasidic guy that won a world championship a couple years ago that, like, kind of knew how to tie up his gloves.
And let's not forget, there's a lot of, like, gifted decisions that Pauly Malignaggi got. So that kind of affected him. But you cannot deny that he was a skilled boxer. He doesn't have the physical attributes.
He was a world-class boxer. Can we say
that? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was world-class, for whatever that means. Not elite of the elite, but, you know, he was pretty okay.
But you always saw when somebody was physically better, it would outdo his skill. Like, for example, the Love More Ndu fight, he fought him twice, and the second fight he won by a split decision because Love More was a better physical athlete. You also got to look at the fight against Paulo Cesar Cano. Cano... He was just a better athlete. Like, he was built, he was stronger, he was thicker, he was made more for war than a Pauly.
I think that was one of those fights where Pauly had the dreads. I wish Pauly brought that back. You should bring back the dreads. You used to have them, right?
Yeah,
you used to have the Sean Paul look real good. Somebody messaged me recently and they asked, and I'm not exaggerating this, I haven't even told you this, you're finding out live on... Somebody hit me up and said, is Jesse Rivas trying to look like... Let me find it exactly. Because I don't want to fuck it up. Is Jesse Rivas actually trying to look like a Latin porn star? Yes, he is.
Yes,
straight up.
That's
yes.
The goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the goal. I am incredibly thirsty right now.
I can imagine you have the HPV mouth going on. There's no other sport where a world champion would lose to a journeyman MMA fighter. Can we say that?
Well, let's say this. Number one, boxing is not where it was back in the 80s and the 90s. I mean, it's been a declining sport. All the best athletes have been going somewhere else. So if you look at what the athlete looked like back in the 90s, the 2000s, like a Tito Trinidad versus what does a welterweight look like now? Keith Thurman. He's a better physical athlete than... than a Keith Thurman. He's just competing. Keith Thurman just happens to be competing also at a lower level physically. And then you look at Pauly. Pauly would not have been competitive in another generation.
Oh, God. He would have gotten fucking chewed up by, like, just run through the top 10, and he would never have cracked. So, he would have been the Love Morton do of his day.
Yeah, yeah. He was the Love Morton do of his day. He just happened to have been booked better. So if you look at someone like Artem Lobov, if you look at his victories, there are a couple of ones that, you know, he was in there with some pretty top people. So if you were to say that boxing was going to put the best against the best, like MMA does on a consistent basis, I feel like you're not too far off with who Artem Lobov is in boxing, in MMA, and Pauly is in boxing.
You know what the problem is that Pauly has been an analyst, and Pauly has been, like, putting himself out there so much as, like, one of the, like, talking heads of boxing.
Yeah.
He's trying to be, like, the Brendan Schaub of boxing. You know what I mean? I feel like that's where his, like, his career ideal is, where he's going to have a podcast where he says racist shit. He gets canceled.
I can't. His last episode, he was ranting. He was going on this super pro-Trump rant about how, like, racism isn't real and, like, black people need to stop complaining about racism. Then I haven't seen another podcast since.
He hasn't done another podcast since. I think somebody showed him the Dreads photo. And then, yeah, he can go, like, Brendan Schaub and put up, like, a horrible Showtime special. I think one of Brendan Schaub's punchlines was, he looked Chinesey, bad times. Or, like, some, just the worst joke writing. Man, so the fight... Pauly tries to come out afterwards, and I feel like a lot of this fight was the worst impulses of boxing kind of writ large. And you can kind of see where boxing is really, like, kind of governed itself into a corner, and here's what I mean by that. I feel like with a lot of this, Pauly after the fight was like, well, I outboxed him, which was definitely true. Did you see the fight? I watched the fight. I understand.
I saw clips.
You saw clips, right? Yeah. Which is, you get the idea. It was a pretty boring fight, actually. But Pauly was talking all this shit. He's like, I'm going to end your bloodline. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to rape your mother. I'm going to give your mouth HPV. He was talking all this mad shit. And he goes in there and he's trying to just, like, jab and run and just get the fuck out of the way. And actually, by the way, stumbled a bunch of times. His footwork was horrible. Definitely rusty.
Well, he is a 40-year-old man now.
True.
And footwork does go away with time, as we saw with Rigondeaux. We'll talk about that
later.
Ooh,
yes, we will. So... Pauly is like, oh, I outboxed him, my head movement, my footwork, this, that, the other, which is all absolutely true. His head work was way, way better. His footwork, way better. Hand speed, way better. But he lost the fight. And there's a difference. You know what I mean? Did you ever see an elementary school fight or like a middle school fight or something like that? Like a schoolyard fight?
You know what? It reminds me of a fight that I personally had as a kid. When there was this kid who came straight off the boat from Mexico, and we started talking.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he was fresh off the boat.
No, Mexico's not divided by water. What do you mean off the boat from Mexico?
Off the little river. He was wet.
Okay.
He was still wet. And we got in some fist fight, because apparently there could only be one Latino in the neighborhood.
Sure.
And I landed more punches. I looked like I won the fight. But I know that he caused way more pain.
Mm.
So when people were like, Jesse whooped your ass, I never asked for a rematch. I was like, yes, I did.
Yes, I did. End of story. I think everything is settled here.
But both me and him know what's up. I remember I was hiding like the bruises from my mom. I was like, he whooped my ass. Like, I'm glad they thought I won.
Yeah, right? Sometimes it's not always... It is like that sometimes. But how often have you seen a fight and you think the guy who is running away is winning that street fight or something?
But to be fair... If Pauly were to fight any boxer that he actually got victories on, most of them, he would have lost if they were to fight under these rules.
Absolutely true, too. And we can talk about the rules, too, but I just want to get on this point. Boxers need to remember, at a certain level, you are two guys who agreed to do a fist fight. And if you're not going to stick to that, and if you're going to try to... This is why I don't score defense. You know what I mean? Do you remember the Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder fight? And everybody was like, oh, you know, Tyson Fury, you know, danced all around him. Yes, that's true. But at some point, you need to throw your fucking hands at the guy. And you need to land your fucking hands on the guy.
Do you know how many losses Sam Eggington, the guy who retired Polinaggi from boxing, has now?
Polinaggi?
Polinaggi? He has six losses now.
But doctor, I am Polinaggi. Continue.
He has six losses.
Which is less than half of what Artem has.
He only has 30 fights.
That's pretty crazy.
He's 25. It's not even like he's at the end of his career.
And you pointed out, yeah, he's not even a European fighter. He's a Commonwealth-level fighter. Like, Sam Eggington is not hot, and he knocked Pauly out. But yeah, we said it coming in. There's a horrible rule set for Pauly. He broke his right hand. We'll talk about that in a second. He got cut up. The rounds were really short, so those kind of rounds, pressure matters a lot, right? You don't have a lot of time to set things up. Pressure matters. Big bursts of energy matter. And I want to talk about this for bare knuckle. People, and I feel like Pauly didn't understand this. If you're fighting someone bare knuckle, don't throw a fucking hook because it will break your hand. It's too much force to land with. If you watch that undercard, every fight leading up, you could probably count on one hand the number of hooks in like 10 fights or however many it was, right? People just weren't throwing them because they understood. Even fucking Chris Leben, who has 6 brain cells left, understood. Don't throw any fucking hooks. And it's because it breaks your hand. I think Pauly maybe just instinctively, it's in the second round, you can see it. He throws this right hook, breaks his right hand real bad. From there, he can't throw it. He's just trying to jab out and, you know, get away with the decision. He takes the last 2 rounds.
He breaks his hands with 8-ounce gloves. The hell makes him think he's not going to break his hands without 8-ounce gloves?
He tried to have, like, special wraps and special petroleum jelly. He came out to the ring with it. They sent him back. He had to come back and, like, they almost canceled the fight because he was trying to cheat the rules. Crazy, right? Yeah, they like, literally, like, 30 seconds before the fight started, like, oh, that's super illegal. You can't do that. Hey, by the way, there's one rule here, and it has to be bare knuckle. Please be bare knuckle.
You know what type of fighter I would like to see in a bare knuckle fight is the Charlos.
That would be intense. They would kill somebody. You know who I want to see? Anthony Rumble Johnson. He would murder a man.
Rumble Johnson versus Kovalev.
Ooh, someone would die. 100%.
Or Berdabiev.
Even better.
That's the kind of physical body that does well in a bare knuckle fight. That thick, stocky, big bone type of person.
The, like, Kovalev style, like, thug.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I made sure to pick a white example before I used the word thug. Yeah, man, horrible for boxing, I think. I think it's horrible for boxing.
I think it's horrible for boxing.
I'll tell you straight up, wrestlers have been dunking all over this on Twitter all week. Freestyle Olympic Wrestling Twitter does exist. It's only like 6 accounts, but we all know each other. And yeah, they've been dunking all over.
Well, you know what this is like? This is not too unlike the fact that, you know, the Canadian wrestling team was getting dominated by George St. Pierre, who didn't wrestle in high school or college.
Yes, but I could make the Canadian wrestling team. The last time a Canadian had somebody who was even in like the top 20, it was probably...
Gene Kaniski?
Man, there was a guy in the mid-2000s, but he was an American who just had like a Canadian grandparent. Like, you know, Canada's horrible. I'll put it to you this way. If GSP could have made the Olympics for Canada, he would have. Right? Because that's just great, you know, marketing. Anything else about Pauly versus Artem? I'm interested to see what Pauly does on the Showtime broadcast this weekend. How he looks. Anytime he disagreed with me on that broadcast, if I was sitting in that booth with him, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. You just lost to Artem.
Artem definitely raised the stock a lot, and I bet he can get that UFC contract again.
He might be able to. He just can't shoot double legs. Did you hear about that? The double leg gate for the Dana White Contender Series? Let's talk about this for a second. So there's this guy, Brandon Loughran. You know, people have talked about this. So this guy, he was in the Dana White Contender Series. It was the first episode, the premiere of this season. And he wins the fight. He looks amazing, right? Good fight. Ton of damage. Winning. With 10 seconds left in the third round, he shoots a double leg, takes the guy down, right? Dana White says, I'm not signing you because in the last 10 seconds, instead of standing there and banging, you went for the double. And I don't want guys like that on my roster. Dana White should just get into bare knuckle, right? Dana White so badly just wants these guys to just, like, hacksaw fight each other.
You know,
Dana White should get into BattleBots. Do you remember BattleBots?
Yeah.
He should get into that.
That's literally what the guy from Bare Knuckle Boxing got in trouble for saying in their first show.
Oh, that he just wants violence and carnage? Yeah. Yeah, Dana wants someone to die in the ring.
He took someone's purse away. Like, he took a percentage of someone's purse away for that.
Which, I mean, if that's like... if that's the deal, I kind of understand it. But if that's the case, then don't even have like an agreed to purse. Just say like, I'm just gonna, you know, pay you guys per punch or something. You know what I mean? It's so weird to me. It's weirdly exploitive. But I think Dana was trying to send a message about like, if you come here, you got to be ready to, you know, fucking bang, bro. You got to be ready to fucking go for it.
That sounds like what he says on Tinder.
Anything else on this bare knuckle stuff?
Nah, that's it, man. We can move on.
We can move on. Oh, real quick, there was a UFC. Let's talk about Chan Sung Jung, the Korean Zombie, knocked out Moicano in like a minute. He looked great. He's back. Korean Zombie, 145 pounds.
I picked Korean Zombie.
You did. He put him out in a minute.
My favorite part of that fight is when he walks in and the referee asks him that he has a cup, but there's a language barrier, so he just saw him put his hand out there and he shook his hand.
They're a very polite people in Korea. Yeah, man, he is ready to go. He is the 145-pound Justin Gaethje. In fact, I want him to bump up to 155 to take on Gaethje.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be amazing. Do you remember the Korean Zombie Poirier fight? He beat Poirier. He tapped out Poirier in like 2013, right before he had to take that like military leave.
Here in Virginia at like 9 in the morning.
Yeah, that was crazy, right? It was like I was like listening to the, like driving into work, like listening to the fight call. Yeah, that was a crazy, crazy fight. Big shout out to Korean Zombie picking up a huge knockout win over the weekend. Moicano is just a journeyman, right? He's a gatekeeper, kind of. Every time they want to bump him up, Ortega, Aldo, Chan Sung Jung, he just kind of holds that gate down right at that elite level. He's just B++. You know what I mean? But the biggest MMA fight over the weekend was Lovato, Rafael Lovato Jr., took out Gegard Mousasi. Jesse, this is huge.
That's a huge victory.
Sorry, Jesse, you don't know how to spell Mousasi, which is understandable, but it's the HPV.
so I just had too much salt in my diet, so I'm very thirsty. It has nothing to do with
HPV. You're very thirsty for women, which is what led you to this problem in the first place.
Oh, I have diabetes.
I may get so much mileage out of this bit. It's just a bit for all of the one woman that listens to this podcast. So Rafael Lovato is one of the only Americans to ever win a world championship in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's almost all Brazilians, right? In fact, there was like from 2005 till like 2016, it was 100% Brazilian world champions every single weight class. He takes on Gegard Mousasi, who a lot of people online think is like one of the best middleweights of all time. I don't hold that opinion. And he wins the first two rounds really decisively. Mousasi wins the next two rounds really decisively. Then Lovato comes out and dominates the fifth round, picks up the belt, and no one has seen this fight. It's not available anywhere. It's not on DAZN. It didn't even air live in the UK where the fight was being held. How crazy is this? It's a huge fuck up by Bellator, in my opinion, that they're like one of their biggest names, Gegard, who beat up Rory McDonald, and that, you know, he was a big signing from the UFC. He was a top five middleweight in the world when he came over. For him to lose to, you know, a homegrown Bellator star, and for them not to be able to show this to anybody is so fucking weird.
Yeah, it's freaking nuts. It reminds me of when Bret Hart won the title from Ric Flair. And like that random house show.
Yeah, yeah. Or like Kevin Nash like beat Bob Backlund. You remember that one? Yeah.
And they had just, like grainy footage.
Yeah. Have you even seen like clips of Lovato Mousasi?
No.
Nothing, right? There's nothing out there. I was able to find a stream. I went back, tried to watch it again. Gone. It's crazy.
Yo, what if it didn't happen? What if like the next Bellator Mousasi comes in like nothing happened with the belt?
They just paid off Lovato afterwards. That would be so gangster. And it's over in the UK, so they're kind of the commission, you know. They could just say, like, oh, it was unsanctioned. No, we didn't sanction that. Overall, that was a good Bellator card. James Gallagher, that kid looked good.
Do you remember when Bustamante lost the title? That was another one of those fights where, like, no one ever saw it, so they just assumed Bustamante was the champion.
Who did Bustamante lose the title to?
Exactly.
Again? Oh, to, like, not Dave Monet. He won the title from Dave Monet, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or maybe he lost it to Dave Monet? Yeah, I don't remember.
But I remember for a long time, people were like, yeah, Bustamante is the champion. And I'm like, nah, he lost to who did he lose to? I don't know.
I want to say it was Dave Monet. Murilo Bustamante, by the way, really good friend of mine. That's his jiu-jitsu coach.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, brown belt friend of mine. He is the man.
That's kind of like when somebody's like, hey, do you know, like, J-Lo? Yeah, well, my friend shook hands with a guy who used to be married to J-Lo.
Oh, he never lost the belt.
He didn't?
No, he just... He vacated it because he signed with Pride. Interesting. That was back when the UFC would just, like, not have a champion for a division for, like, 6 years. You know what I mean? It was just like, yeah, we're just... You remember when they said they weren't doing any fights below 170?
Yeah.
They got rid of 155. Now, like, 90% of the roster is under 170 pounds. You know what I mean? It's like, it's so many people. Think if they didn't have 155 now.
There'd be no Conor.
There'd be no Conor. There'd be no Khabib. There'd be no, you know, Tony Ferguson, Dustin Poirier. It's their money division. It's the best division in MMA.
It's the best division in boxing.
It's the best division in boxing. Everybody knows that these middleweight guys are good. And let's talk about, you know, some of these guys that over the weekend had some pretty good results here in the middleweights. Charlo knocks the fuck out of Cota. And Jay Nagy, the referee, I believe, hates that Cota guy. Did not like him. Thought he was like a racist or something. Like, I don't know what he did. I don't know how he wronged Jay Nagy, but he wronged him somehow because Charlo knocks him down. I think it was like third round or something. I forget which round it was. Knocks him down. Cota is fucked up. Cota's literally hanging on the ropes, like head over the ropes, like trying to like get his bearings. And Jay Nagy just like grabs his wrist. And he's like, okay, you're good to go. And Charlo runs over like the Flash, right hands him, and puts him out immediately. Horrible.
That's crazy because Jay Nagy is the same guy who waved off the Zab Judah fight when he got knocked down, didn't get him a count, and waved it off, and it almost caused a riot. So maybe he's trying to overcompensate.
Man, because now they're told like, you know, they're told like, hey, you know, make sure they lift their hands on their own, make sure they walk to you, make sure that they're, you know, that they can answer a question. He did none of that shit. He was like, all right, he's literally able to stand on 2 feet.
So Robert Byrd, Adelaide Byrd, and Jay Nady need to retire.
What did Jay Nady do the other week or something? There was something he fucked up the other week where I was real mad at him. He hasn't been doing a good job. Anyway, we mentioned Regan Dow. Regan Dow's been wild. Regan Dow is in the fun part of his career because he used to be a defensive mastermind, but now he's slowing down, so he's getting hit more.
He doesn't have legs.
His legs are gone. He has nothing. He has to be this brawler now, which is so crazy. Regan Dow is a brawler. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. And he took on homeboy, I forget the first name, I apologize, Seha. And he ends up picking up the TKO win in the eighth. But he had some real rough moments in there, Jesse. Some real back and forth, lost a ton of rounds, took a ton of damage. And I know they say black don't crack, but Regan Dow is cracked. That man looks old.
So they say that he is 38 years old. There's always been suspicion that that's not true because a lot of boxers reported that he was, if they could just kind of like estimate, like generously estimate of where he was in the amateurs and who he fought in certain time periods, he's about 45 years old, generously.
Which, by the way, that makes sense. Yeah. If you look at him, he looks like a 45-year-old.
It's kind of like when they talk about Luis Ortiz, that he's like 8 years older than he really is. You could see it.
Yeah, straight up, he looks like an old man. For a guy who's been living, you know, the nice, relaxing Cuban lifestyle, it is not reflected in his facial features. He looks like he is, he looks like a very generous old tree. You know what I mean?
Funny thing about Guillermo Rigondeaux, I know a lot of people sometimes have trouble saying his name, and they're like, why do people say Rigondeaux? It's a French last name, and it's pronounced Rigondeaux, but that's apparently how he pronounces it. It's I guess, his French name with a Cuban Spanish accent.
Which I guess will count. Apparently, I typed in because I needed to remember, and it's Julio Seha. I apologize to Julio Seha.
Well, I think it's kind of like there's Andrade, 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 but they're all spelled the same way. And, I mean, there's one correct way of saying it, but everyone just kind of has their own variation of the same name.
Straight up. Apparently, he's filed a protest. Seha has. Because he's only given 8 seconds on the restart. So people were not happy with the refereeing this weekend. Yeah, he's saying that he wasn't given enough of a count be able to continue by Russell Mora. So, well, you know, if something happens, we'll let you know. But Regan Dow, I love this stage of his career. You know what I mean? Where he's just 1% washed up. I'm into that.
I don't think he's 1% washed up. He's very washed up.
Yeah, he's pretty washed up, right? Probably the biggest fight interest-wise over the weekend was Cancio Machado. It's a rematch where Cancio picked up the huge knockout win over Machado. Cancio, you know, they talk about him. He's a... what the fuck is it called? Jackhammer. He works a jackhammer for like 8 hours a day. And he jackhammered the fuck out of Machado in their first fight. Came into the second fight and jackhammered the fuck out of him again. Machado had no answer for that power. Cancio retains that world championship for a guy who basically quit boxing. Who had quit boxing. This is just incredible.
I think it was a mindset thing. I think it was at the end of the day, because he wants to get the rematch of Jojo Diaz, a guy who completely dominated him the first time. He's one of those guys that people believed in him enough to talk him into having another fight. So people, he must have been very good at the gym, but he wasn't a guy who really performed when the lights were on. And after this fight, he's got a whole new level of confidence. And I look forward to seeing him do big things. Oh, because of Jojo Diaz rematch.
Straight up. This is going to sound gay as hell. Do you remember the movie Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
Do you remember in that movie there's that guy Gaston? He's like the chatty, like, you know, big muscles, real handsome, like he's the town fuck stud. In that movie, he has a best friend who's constantly telling him how great he is. I think everybody needs a friend like that. Everybody needs a LeFou. Everybody needs a friend who will randomly burst into song about how good they are at fucking.
No one fucks like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I remember that guy.
Yeah. Everybody needs a boy like that. That's a real friend.
You know what it reminded me of? You remember how, like, when the narcissist Lex Luger debuted in the WWE?
Mm-hmm.
He had Bobby the Brain Heenan as a manager, and he would sometimes get a little gay with it.
Yeah.
He'd be like, look at his legs.
You kind of need to.
Look at his back.
Look at the
bulge.
His
dick is huge. This is a kid's show. What are you talking about?
I just want him to crack my back like I'm a fucking glow stick. any other boxing from last weekend to talk about? Any other MMA from last weekend?
I think that's it.
Let's get into some topics that's going on. Jesse, what the fuck is a franchise champion?
You know what? That is one of the weirdest things. So, all the best fighters that are at middleweight happen to be on DAZN. If you want to see Billy Joe Saunders, you want to see Demetrius Andrade, do you want to see Triple G, do you want to see Danny Jacobs, literally every single top-level fighter is on DAZN, except for Jermall Charlo. He's the only one who's not. Very similar to Terrence Crawford being on the other side of the fence with all the welterweights being on PBC on Showtime and him being the one lone guy on Top Rank on ESPN. You have the same thing going on here. So he is the number one contender, the interim champion, the next guy to fight Canelo. But realistically, because of the politics, there's no way that fight's going to happen.
No way.
We're probably going to see Triple G versus Canelo next. Canelo may move
up.
Do you
want to see that fight?
No.
Not really, right? Like, we've seen it twice. Because here's the worst thing that could happen. Triple G wins. And now suddenly it's 2-1 Canelo, but the last win goes to... You're kind of in a Pacquiao-Marquez situation.
Yeah.
Where it's like, is Marquez better? I know he holds that last win, and I know it was a big knockout, but like Pacquiao beat his ass three times, you know? What are we talking about?
I don't know.
About?
Some of those could have gone either way. Why,
so they could have gone either way, you know? He beat his ass. He returned an ass-whooping as well. It was not one-sided.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this one guy won three fights. Out of four.
I have it scored 1-1. It's like, what's 1-1 and draw? Because I thought the first fight
one,
was
one
a draw.
1-1 and 1?
Yeah.
Well, there's four fights, Jesse. You got to give me one of them. Come on. But regardless, now we have something known as a franchise champion because of this mess.
Yeah, so basically that means they've elevated Jermall Charlo to the world champion. And they've created this new belt, which is kind of like the... Stone Cold Steve Austin Smoking Skull Belt franchise title, which has never existed before. Why don't they just call him the Super Champion? Did they do that? Yeah.
Anything. Name him the Emperor or something. You know what I mean? Just give him a gold star. I don't get what this is, that he's a franchise champion. To me, this is just a solution in search of a problem. I think this is retarded. This is the kind of shit people hate about boxing.
you know, we already talk about, we have, you know, four major championships. Then there's the lineal champion, which is, you know, maybe real, maybe not. I kind of recognize that. I like a linear champion. Yeah. And now we're going to have franchise champions?
The WBA is the worst at it.
WBA is obviously
the worst. The WBA has the super champion. They have the regular champion. They have the interim champion. They have the number one contender to the interim title. They have the number one contender to the world title. It's like they're just racking up sanctioning fees. They're like, how many sanctioning fees can we put out in one weight class?
It is, yeah, it is straight up like...
Everyone gets a belt.
Everybody gets
a belt. You get a belt, and you get a belt.
Let's talk about real quick. So that's the franchise championship stuff. Real quick, I want to talk about this while we're talking about boxing. Pacquiao Thurman. And I just wrote this in on the show notes because I forgot about it. They're not going to do WADA testing before their fight. That's wild to me.
They're not only doing no WADA testing, but they're also not testing for PEDs.
So the betting lines for Pacquiao just got way sweeter, right? The odds for Pacquiao are way better. Man, this is so sick. I don't know why Keith Thurman would possibly agree to that. You know what I mean?
I think that's the only way you can get Pacquiao in his 40s.
But you don't want roided out of his fucking skull Pacquiao. I don't get the logic.
You're getting TRT Tour Pacquiao.
Exactly. Look what Vitor did. Vitor, when he was on steroids, even at like age 40, was the most terrifying MMA fighter of all time. And now you're asking, there's a chance that Pacquiao does a spinning hook kick. You remember that? Vitor had a finishing move for a while. He had the like spinning back Edson Barboza kick. He took out Luke Rockhold. He took out Michael Bisping. Yeah, I think he took out Dan Henderson with it. It was unbelievable. It was legitimately the Aleister Black mess.
Yes.
It was that exact kick. So I think that's a very stupid move by Keith One Time Thurman. I think he's really setting himself up.
I think he's going to lose.
Is it maybe a kind of thing where he feels like it might be trending against him anyway, and he kind of wants to leave, like, an excuse? You know what I mean?
Could
like,
be.
Could be, right?
We've been talking about this for a while. Like, I mean, the man, you know, kind of sold some of his old, like, wounds. Like, he reconnected with his father, bought him a house. He fell in love, discovered yoga. He got married. He's rich. He got to live in silk sheets for the first time. He wasn't in there grinding it out. This injury changed him as a person. And I said that going into the next fight. I'm like, he doesn't sound like he used to. He sounds refined. He sounds civilized. And he went into that fight, and he fought against a C fighter and barely got out of it with a W.
Struggled like a motherfucker. And Pacquiao with no WADA, no PED testing, that is not a C fighter. That's big trouble. We were talking about sanctioning bodies. The WBO, as a sanctioning body, has decided to make Alexander Usyk the number one contender for the WBO championship, currently held by Andy Ruiz. I guess he always was, because he was the WBO champion at cruiserweight. He's bumping up, so the WBO says, we'll give you the number one contendership, you know, we'll make you the mandatory for the next weight class up. But he didn't want Joshua. Right, but then Andy Ruiz wins the belt, and he's like, "I want that. You know, I'll take me some Andy Ruiz."
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of been the rule, so I get that they did that. But I also feel like another reason why he wants to take that fight is because Wilder already has his next fights lined up. Joshua needs to kind of complement by having his next too. Like, I want to see this kind of fight. If they're going to stall to try to get like more money on a Joshua Wilder fight and see who's going to be the A side versus the B side, they have to both have compelling storylines. So if you're going to tell me you're going to fight Luis Ortiz and then Tyson Fury, we have to have a very similar path going on in the Joshua camp.
Yeah, it can't be, you know, and we'll talk about this fight in a minute when we preview a little bit, but, you know, people talk about like Charlo's don't fight tough opposition, so it kind of lowers their star rating a little bit. And we've seen that a lot. You know, people even say that kind of now about Jon Jones. If Jon Jones is fighting tougher guys, his star, you know, level would be even higher. I think that's true of these heavyweights, too. If Anthony Joshua in these next couple fights takes on some mid-level, you know, who's this guy, who's that guy kind of guys, he's in trouble. If he beats Alexander Usyk, though, that's a big win. That's a big, big win. Because Usyk is in a lot of people's top 10 pound for pound. So, we'll see. I think it's interesting. I mentioned Jon Jones. Let's talk about Jon Jones. Dana White is trying to get Jon Jones's UFC loss overturned. He only has one loss in MMA to date. It's to Matt Hamill. It's by disqualification because John Jones got to mount through a downward 12-6 elbow, which ended up leading to the end of the fight. So he lost by disqualification. That was in like 2010. That was forever ago. And now Dana White is going back and trying to get that wiped out so that he can promote John Jones as an undefeated champion. I think this is very dumb. I think this is very dangerous. I think this is a very dangerous precedent to set where you can go back. The referee made the call in the moment. You have to live by it. I think that this is...
I don't think they should overturn something that happened years ago.
Years ago. Like, yeah, if it happened right after and they tried to, like, you know, work with it then, that's a little bit understandable. John Jones has legitimately had, like, over a dozen fights since then. Yeah. Maybe two dozen. I mean, this guy fights. This guy fucks.
Give it to Hamill, man. I bet you at Hamill's gym there's, like, a big picture of him with
his getting his hand raised over John Jones. Everybody's always telling him good job. He doesn't know that, though.
His answering machine is just like...
Hey, whoa, did Matt Hamill. Thank you. Why would he have an answering machine? He can't fucking listen to it, Jesse. Deaf people don't have answering machines, I assume. Are you ready to look ahead to the weekend? Is there anything else you want to touch on?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, cool. Let's look ahead. One of the Charlos is fighting. Do you know which one?
Jermall.
Jermall is fighting. He is fighting Brandon Adams, I think?
Yes.
And he's going to run through this guy. You know, let's be honest. Not that Brandon Adams isn't very tough, but he's just not world-class like Charlo, and I don't think he's going to be able to handle the power that Charlo is able to bring. And so he's in for a really rough night, probably a short night.
If I had to give like an MMA example of what this fight is like, do you remember when Travis Luter won the Ultimate Fighter and they put him in there against Anderson Silva?
Oh, yeah, UFC 67.
That's kind of what we have going on here, where it's like...
Although he nearly won that fight.
You could feasibly see this in this fight, too. He is very much someone who is capable of doing it. Will he? Probably not. Will he maybe give Charlo a good fight? We could see some moments. But this is the winner of the contender. He's actually one of those Concealed-type fighters where he also was like, quit boxing. He lost to Willie Monroe Jr. He lost a lot of fights where you were like, all right, pack it up. And he did pack it up, but then he came back, won the contender, and actually beat in the finals Shane Mosley Jr., the son of Vernon Forrest. No.
Is it Sugar Shane Mosley's son?
Yeah.
No, oh, that's good. I didn't really. That's real cool. I'm real into a lot of that. Is it possible Brandon Adams can win this fight? Yes. I don't see it. I don't see the path to victory here for him. I think he's just going to be overmatched. Because these Charlos, they are unforgiving. They are bad motherfuckers. And these are guys who are there to fight. These are the guys who are there to win the schoolyard rules fights as well as the boxing match, right? And so I also think it's interesting, by the way, that the Charlos are not fighting on the same night. And I think moving forward, they're not going to do that. Because in the last one, you saw the one lost to Harrison. And then the other had to fight immediately afterwards. And his performance was horrible.
Yeah.
He really lagged. And he talked about it afterwards, how it messed with him emotionally watching his brother lose in that way in such a, you know, he felt like a robbery.
It's kind of like that G.I. Joe set of twins that was in Cobra Command, Cobra, where like if you hit one of them, the other one felt the pain.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that, but emotionally.
How
fucked up was that scene where like he's walking out into the ring trying to get hyped to fight, and like they just cut? We'd have big screens there. They cut to like his brother crying.
Who looks just like him. That's the fucked up thing. It's like you're watching this guy both getting ready for a fight and having just lost a fight. It was really a psychological mind fuck. Yeah. Richard Comey is fighting this weekend against who's he fighting? I'm so sorry. Why can't I think of this? Do I have brain HPV?
Ray Beltran.
Thank you. I have fucking brain
this
HPV.
This is one of the absolutely best fights that could possibly happen with two guys who deserve second shots. We always talk about people in boxing just kind of getting fucked over and not getting second shots. You lose one fight, you're kind of screwed. That's why robberies hurt so much. In this situation here, you have Richard Comey, who has been one of the top African fighters. Came to the U.S., got robbed twice. Two times got robbed. And we thought that'd be the end of it. He's getting a second shot, third shot, after getting robbed twice. And then Ray Beltran, one of the most underrated boxers of our generation. A guy who, had he been managed correctly, he would have 1,000% been a bigger star. He's a guy who beat Ricky Burns when Ricky Burns was the man in England, but he lost a split draw.
I think he's a, like, I legitimately think he's like a Hall of Fame level talent.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of these, like, Salido type guys. So here we are. We have two guys.
Ray Beltran missed weight. Oh, what? Wow. So he can't win the title. Sorry, I literally just, like...
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news. There you go. Shit. Man, I hope Beltran's okay. That's very uncharacteristic of him. He should change his nickname from Sugar if he's going to miss weight. Like, maybe, like, you know, low-carb Ray Beltran.
The interesting thing about it is he moved up in weight in his last fight. He looked good in his victory over Okada. And people talked about him possibly staying at 140 pounds. He worked with a nutritionist, and they were saying that they were comfortable going into the weight, going into this fight. But that was a concern going in there, that maybe he had outgrown the weight.
Obviously he has, man. That's a horrible, horrible, you know, news. It's very rare in boxing that people miss weight. It happens so much more in MMA. I think because the weight classes are so much further away. But, you know, now he is unfortunately ineligible to win Richard Comey's belt. This is a big boon to Richard Comey, who I think might finally be getting a chance to shine here. Shit.
And the winner of this fight has a guaranteed slot against Teofimo Lopez. And the winner of that gets Lomachenko.
There's a real path forward here for any of these guys to have a huge payday, right?
I mean, the winner of this could be the next Josh Warrington.
True.
You just fuck up all the big goals, and then you become the guy.
Why not? Fuck it. Live your life. Richard Comey, come over here. Take all our belts.
Do you know when Shogun did that? All the dream fights were destroyed because he was just whooping everyone's ass on, like, the Pride tournament.
That was amazing. Oh, man, that was a Shogun I really missed. That guy, some of the best ground and pound ever was Shogun in that era.
23 years old.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. And now
washed up at like 27.
Now, yeah, he's a total bum. He's like the only guy to ever get tapped out by Chael Sonnen. Man, so we're looking forward to Comey versus Beltran. Beltran just missed weight. How much does that shift the fight expectation towards Comey? I think significantly.
I think it does.
Yeah. I think significantly, right? So we'll see what's going on with that. Ray Beltran had a real good fight with Jose Pedraza recently. You know, he's picked up big wins over Moises. He picked up big wins over a lot of really, really tough guys. I remember, you know, he's kind of been on a really nice run since he lost to Crawford. I feel like he turned a corner in the Crawford fight, where he started to take things maybe just a little bit more seriously, right? And from there, he's been really plugging away.
Yeah, Beltran going into the Crawford fight, it was a 50-50. The slight favorite was Crawford. Crawford just showed he was another level. That was a redemption fight for him because Crawford got the nod. Beltran should have gotten the nod against Ricky Burns. So they both fought in America in a big unification fight. And well, they should have been big, but, you know, he just showed, yeah, Crawford's way better than Ray Beltran. Since then, we saw him do phenomenal things. I think the turning the corner was when Mason Maynard, who now isn't really a name, but at the time was being built as the next big thing in the weight class, was KO'd. And then Jonathan Marcello also got KO'd, who's also being built as a big name. Then he fought Brian Vasquez in a fight to stay in the fucking country. Do you remember that, where they were going to deport him?
Yo, that was incredible. We need to write that movie. Let's write that movie. It was unbelievable. If he hadn't just missed weight, I would definitely err towards Beltran, but because he did, I'm actually going to err towards Comey now. Give me Comey over the decision. Because usually people missing weight means something else has gone wrong, right? Yeah. Something else went wrong in your camp. Maybe, I don't want to say he wasn't focused, because I don't know if that was the case. Maybe he's just living that fat American lifestyle now. Maybe the problem was he needed, you know, the kind of, you know,
as soon as
the threat of deportation.
As soon as he became a U.S. citizen and a world champion, he got upset in his following fight against Pedraza.
Unbelievable, right? I mean, just it might be that case where, you know, he got what he needed out of boxing and that was kind of it. We'll see. It's going to be, I think that's the fight of the weekend. I really do. Let's talk about the last boxing fight of the weekend that I want to talk about, which is the Demetrius Boubou Andrade fight. He's taking on Selecki. in a real tough fight. Demetrius Bubo Andrade is a guy, he has all the talent in the world at this 154-pound junior middleweight division, but he doesn't have the resume. He doesn't have the W's. He doesn't have the pelts on his wall that some of these other guys have. So he stays in that, like, 7, 8, 9 region, whereas his talent could be a lot higher, right?
Every single boxer, from Andre Ward to all like the legendary names, the people you respect, the Paulie Malignaggis, when you talk about the Timothy Bradleys, you talk about all the greats, Roy Jones Jr., they all say that by the time that Bubu Andrade was 14 years old, everyone was like, that's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That is going to be one of the biggest stars in boxing. He's going to be one of the best boxers. He's going to have multiple titles in many different weight classes. None of that happened. He's 31 years old now.
Ooh, look at this thick white girl I just matched with.
Fantastic.
Wonderful news. Only just 20, my type.
Yeah, 20 years old. Can't even
okay, we don't need to be giving out what ages I'm matching with here. I don't know. That might be a little over the line.
But
I have spent most of the podcast accusing you of having STDs. But I feel like that's over the line.
You're like, hey, can I go see you perform? Nah, babe. You gotta be 21 and over.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, it might be a little tough. Yeah. When you turn 21, then we can talk.
But Bubu Andrade has had phenomenal victories. TKO'd Willie Nelson, beat Jack Coquet. All these guys are not like the biggest names. Alantes Fox. We've always been curious to see him against a bigger name. This is a stay busy fight for him. He's moved on to the zone where like all the middleweights are. He's actually a super welterweight. But he's moving up. He's a small man in the weight class because he needs some competition. So we'll see him from here. Selesky is coming off of the Danny Jacobs loss, which he performed very well. He beat Gabriel Rosado before that. He beat Jack Colquay, and he beat Hugo Santino Jr. by TKO. He's a tough fighter.
I'm messaging this fat butted white girl.
What do you think Andrade needs to do so he can at least lure some of the big fights?
Man, he should cut off a hand or something. That'd be cool. Everybody would want to find him then. what should he do? It's real tough. It might be a management problem. It's tough to know what's going on behind the scenes. But when it comes to getting one of these bigger fights, prove you can move it. Prove you can move tickets. Prove that you can make money.
You know what I think hurt him a lot was the fact that he was scheduled, he was booked to fight against Jermall Charlo. It was set, Jermall Charlo versus Bubu Andrade on the undercard of Floyd versus Canelo. That was the fight.
It was.
And he pulls
out. Damn, they were young then, too. Yeah. That's such a good fight in retrospect. You know what I mean? Because that'll happen sometimes.
We knew that then. It was great prospects.
We knew it was great prospects.
We didn't know how good they would become, though.
Yeah, those are two top five level guys.
Accurately, though, he pulled out because he said, even though it was a career high payday for both fighters, he said, this will be a bigger fight down the line. And he pulls out for more money later. It is a bigger fight now. But you should have fought that fight because now you can't get another fucking fight.
It's true. And some people just fuck themselves. You know what I mean? We look back. Sometimes we just look back and we're like, oh, that was a wrong decision. You know what I mean? Aaron Pico deciding to do MMA instead of wrestling. It was a horrible decision. Stuff like that. He's kind of stuck just, you know, plugging
along. It was him who pulled out. It wasn't Charlie.
Yeah, straight up. Yeah, no. He's kind of stuck, man. Because in boxing, when you're a prospect, when you're trying to prove your name, people don't like... Is as horrible as it sounds, people don't like guys who are thinking in that way. Yeah, business first, fighting second. But people want you to be a real fighter.
This is a guy who, from 14 years old, the best fighter said he was going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I agree. All the talent in the world. Like I said, I think he's going to whoop up on Selecki. What do you think?
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. But... hopefully he grabs that mic right afterwards, starts naming names, starts calling people out.
I think the fight is Danny Jacobs.
That'd be a great fight. Him and Danny Jacobs would be fantastic.
Danny Jacobs is a dance partner.
There you go. And Danny Jacobs is coming off the Canelo loss, so it can kind of turn into not a beat-the-clock challenge. That's not right because, obviously Danny Jacobs is much, much better than a beat-the-clock kind of guy. But if you can look good and beat the guy that the champ just beat, that matters. That goes a long way towards any of this. Yeah, man, sometimes it's good to just try to find one of these old washed-up guys and beat the shit out of them. You know, earn your name that way.
I think another thing that hurt him was last year when he was going to fight Billy Joe Saunders, and then Billy Joe Saunders tested positive.
That was rough. That was a rough time. It'll come. You know, I'm not afraid that Andrade's going to go his whole career. Stay ready. You know what I mean? It's going to happen.
That could have been a big fight for him, though.
It could have been huge. I still think it's a big, big possibility. Anything else for the weekend for boxing?
That's it for me.
Let's talk a little MMA. The UFC over the weekend coming to you with the main event from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Junior Dos Santos is taking on Francis Ngannou. Big, big hitters in the heavyweight division. If you like people going unconscious, this might just be the fight for you. Francis Ngannou in his last two fights. We're looking at a 45-second knockout over Curtis Blaydes, who's a top 10 guy. And we're looking at a 20-second knockout over Cain Velasquez, the former champion. Retired Cain Velasquez. Junior Dos Santos, the former champion, who has been plugging away this division, is riding a three-fight win streak of his own. He's running off of two straight knockout wins over Derek Lewis and Tai Tuivasa. So both these guys are coming in with a ton of momentum. Junior Dos Santos definitely has the boxing advantage. And this is just going to be a boxing fight, right? There's not going to be a kick throw. There's not going to be a takedown gone for. The question is, can Junior Dos Santos use better technique, better movement, before Francis Ngannou eventually lands a punch? Especially in those first, like, 6-7 minutes where Francis is going to be dangerous. If he can get after that, he's going to be fine. But that's the danger zone. If he can get after that, he's totally, totally cool. What do you think?
Man, if you look at the past fights of Francis Ngannou, it's basically like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. If you can just avoid getting hit by this guy, you could win the fight.
Straight up, man. Do you remember the Derek Lewis fight where there was like 10 punches thrown total?
And that's where I feel like I gotta favor Dos Santos, because he does get timid when the other guy has crazy power too. And let's not forget, Junior Dos Santos has crazy KO power. It's not at the same level of crazy, but it's still enough that it'll shut your lights out.
True. He definitely shut down more against Stipe. He did let it go against Alistair Overeem and Andrei Arlovsky, who both can bang, but not quite the same, right? He will shut down sometimes. I think Junior's a really smart fighter, except Junior will let himself get pushed up against the cage way too often. Junior has really, really horrible footwork. He's always just living with his back against that cage, kind of Anderson Silva style. If he lets that happen, he's going to get knocked out pretty quick. And in fact, I am predicting that Francis Ngannou is going to win this fight, Jesse.
Wow.
I know. I think he's going to land something. He hits so hard, and we've seen Junior Dos Santos TKO'd or knocked out by Stipe. We've seen him TKO'd or knocked out by Cain Velasquez. He was TKO'd by Alistair Overeem. This guy, you know, he's a little chinny. It's the heavyweight division. Everybody's a little chinny, but I think Ngannou's going to find him.
I got to go Dos Santos. I think too fast, too better boxing, and
too fast, too furious.
Pretty much.
Too fast. That's like your dating life is too fast, too furious, Tokyo Drift.
Why is it this stereotype that I only date Asian women?
Why do you think? If you had to guess, why is that? If you had to make one, why? Who do you love long time? If you had to like name one group. Today I had to go get, because I'm going to be in a wedding in a couple of weeks, so I had to get a tux fit. And I went to the men's warehouse, and this like Vietnamese girl was like going around me and measuring me for a suit and like really getting down and like, you know, she's really touching up on me. And I was like, man, Jesse would really enjoy this. As it was happening, I was like, this would be a really good time for Jesse. I don't give a shit.
One of the moments I almost considered stop drinking was...
I thought you were going to ask me which men's warehouse.
I got a text once from someone who apparently I saved on my phone as Tran Ho. And I was just hoping she was Vietnamese. I was like, please be Vietnamese and not actually just be a Tran Ho.
So if you had to like name your favorite kind of food, what would it be? Or like just trying to like figure out like their nationality. So like if I had a gong at my place, how would you feel about that? Would that be cool? Let's talk about this co-main event, because this co-main event at one time was the most hotly anticipated flyweight fight of all time.
at one time, talking about Joseph Benavidez versus Juicy A. Formiga.
You know what they call this weight class in Spanish?
What?
They call it rooster weight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're so small.
They're little boys. Yeah. They're tiny guys. 125 pounders are not big. I think Joseph Benavidez is, he's billed at 5'2", right? Which is like, are you? Yeah. We all know the tricks, right? We've all.
You add two or 3 inches.
We've all been around. I'm 6 foot, quote unquote 6 foot. Joseph Benavidez was at one time the uncrowned champion, 125 pounds. Juicy A. Formiga was the world consensus number one before the UFC started this division, and DJ ended up taking it over. But both these guys, now that Cejudo's in charge, but Cejudo has kind of left and the division is in limbo, whoever wins this fight, if they end up stripping Cejudo, which I think eventually will happen, especially because Cejudo is out with a shoulder injury now, I think that they can... This might be a number one contendership fight.
I agree. This is a fantastic fight. This is a rematch of a fight that happened in 2013 when they started the weight class. Formiga came in there with a lot of hype. Joseph Benavidez ended up winning. I don't see any reason why Benavidez wouldn't win this fight. He won the first one, and he looked phenomenal against the champ. So I'd love to see him fight the champ again and see what he does.
I agree 100%. He beat the champ. People don't talk about that. He could be the champion right now. Juicy A is coming off a ton of momentum. He beat Sergio Pettis. And that was when Sergio Pettis was white hot, right? Sergio Pettis beat Joseph Benavidez. And then Juicy A turned around and beat Sergio. You know, Formiga is really hitting strong here. He also beat that guy, Davison Figueiredo, who had been knocking everybody out and looking amazing and really had a lot of momentum. Formiga slowed him down, too. Do you know what Formiga means?
It means ant.
It means ant. Little ant. Joseph Benavidez has been plugging along. He's been picking up wins, but he's still just kind of stuck in this. Joseph Benavidez might go down as the best fighter that nobody talks about.
There is absolutely, by the way, no evidence that dry mouth is caused by HPV.
That's a great place to end the podcast. That's good continuity. Jesse, do you have anything else for the week?
No, that's it. I have no HPV. We discovered it here on the podcast.
Confirmed. The test is negative, but we're positive it's going to be a good weekend of fighting.
If you Google dry mouth from eating in the letter P, it says pizza.
There you go. All right. Google is fucking paying off. Put yourself over. Let them know how to get a hold of you.
Follow me on Instagram, Jay Rebus Comedy. And follow me on Facebook, Jay Rebus.
And get that pussy ate. Totally free, ladies. Totally clean.
Clean and ready to go. This is a long bit we're doing. I'm actually a virgin.
Yeah, there you go. you're trying to make sure all your Paulie Malignaggi side pieces are
in order. Don't brag about taking my side piece. Just don't brag about taking my side piece.
Don't get your side piece taken, Paulie. From all of us, like the show, subscribe to the show, tell a friend about the show. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week here on The Fighter's Block.